Nah, not those Lions. Three Lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen.
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.
In the meantime, Daniel Harris is with us. Daniel, good morning to you.
Hiya.
Football, bloody hell.
Yeah, what a day.
Where do you want to start, right? The weird thing, right? Because we were talking about this yesterday, and I had predicted that we were going to start getting these very cagey knockout matches where everybody battens down the hatches, and I was completely wrong. Yet, that's kind of what France tried to do, and we're just incapable of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're playing France, ultimately, you've got to score because you know that they're going to. And when you look at their defence, that is probably their weak point. I mean, particularly when they decide to play three at the back, as they did. All of a sudden, you're thinking there's two massive holes in each corner of the pitch. And Switzerland obviously came with a plan. That plan was to try and get at France. Because I think with France, they've got so many good attackers that if they have a lot of the ball, you're going to need to score a lot of goals to even get a draw against them. I mean, well, we saw that Switzerland had to score three times to get a draw. And the only way you're going to be able to score three times is if you get the ball down the other end. And particularly, I mean, if you don't have that great a defence, which Switzerland don't, then I guess in a way it sort of determines your tactics for you. And there's more than one way to do it. I mean, you saw like Mourinho's Chelsea team in particular were famous for winning by the odd goal. Gerard Houllier's Liverpool also would try and do that. And there's more than one way to do it. But I guess Switzerland felt that France's weakness was in attack, so they tried to have a go at them. Switzerland's weakness was at the back. France's weakness was at the back. I'll get it right one of these days. and they tried to have a go at them, and it worked out well. I mean, Switzerland should have finished the game in normal time, really.
It is a remarkable level of overthinking from Deschamps, isn't it?
I mean, it seemed very clear, and I'm sure we were talking about this during the World Cup, that France won that World Cup in spite of their manager, not because of their manager. They were quite negative during the World Cup. They won the World Cup because they had the best players. And I didn't feel like we'd seen lots that suggested to us that Deschamps was some brilliant manager. He just had the best players. And he's just had the best players now, but winning tournaments is difficult. I think that I remember before the tournament, kind of looking down the odds and thinking, well, who should I bet on here? And France were prohibitive. So it's just pointless betting on France because the odds on France were short, but much shorter than you would think they should be in any tournament because you lose one game and you're gone. And there are so many teams that can hurt you. And the reason why I thought France would win it was because I felt like they were the team least likely to lose a game like that, which shows what I know. But you can lose any game to any team in any game of football, which is why Pep Guardiola's Man City haven't won the Champions League, because they can keep being the best team in Europe, but it doesn't mean you'll be the best team in Europe every time that you have to prove that you're the best team in Europe. And I think if they did have a better coach, maybe they would be better, because I don't think we can look at yesterday and think, well, the reason why that happened wasn't significantly because of that back three that Deschamps tried to play that invited Switzerland into the game to begin with.
I don't really know what's going to happen with France now and whether or not the right thing to do. I mean, obviously the right thing to do is to find a new manager who allows the team to play in its full expression. And yet I do wonder about the dynamics within that group. And success obviously is this amazing balm that cures everything. Like all those cliches about French groups and factions that stretch back through history, they're cliches because there's some grain of truth in it. And I can't wait to see the bloodletting that's going to come. As well as England does bloodletting post-tournaments in their media, the French do it beautifully too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this team... I mean, there was obviously that aggravation between Giroud and Mbappe, but most of the time they look to be having a great time. And that's kind of one of the things you actually read about in connection with Pogba, where they're saying, oh, look how happy he is, blah, blah, blah. They seem to be having a good time. And I don't think that they lost because there's levels of unhappiness in the squad necessarily. And I don't even know if there are any, but they may or they may not need a new manager. And then it's, I mean, Zidane is obviously available, but then it'd be interesting to see what Zidane did with this lot, because, I mean, I certainly wouldn't be so sure that the success Zidane achieved with Real Madrid had all that much to do with him, and not to do with the fact that he had Ramos and Ronaldo and Modric and Kroos and Benzema. I'm not sure. And I think that this one, I don't think you would put this defeat down to discord in the camp or anything. It was just that sometimes things happen. Football is a chaotic game. And what happened in this one was that Switzerland turned up and they played the game of their lives. And when good players do that, even if you're a much better team than them, it can be hard to cope with. And that was what we saw. And sometimes we always watch a football match and we try and find explanations for what happened. And sometimes I feel like we just have to say, well, football happened. And it felt yesterday that football happened. I mean, you could obviously pinpoint the back three, and that did change things. But even then, when you're 3-1 up, you think that against a team like France, that game is over. And then just a stray attack, a header out, and nothing when nothing looked on the cards, and then that brilliant goal at the end is you could put it down to things if you wanted to, but it is also just sometimes football happens, and football does things that defy logic, that defy rationale, that defy our expectations. And whilst, again, I could say, well, I don't think Deschamps was a good manager. I don't think Deschamps should have played three at the back. It doesn't feel like they explained France ending up getting beaten last night.
What was your impression of Paul Pogba's performance?
He played really well. Had those classic Paul Pogba moments where he does just things that take your breath away. And he put himself about quite a lot of the rest of the time, which is sometimes the things that we don't see when we're seeing Pogba either doing the brilliant stuff or not doing the brilliant stuff. And that's always been the thing with Paul Pogba. Paul Pogba's top level is a brilliant level, but his bottom level and his modal level are not high enough. And if he puts himself about in every game, like he put himself about last night, no one would ever criticise Paul Pogba, because it's not about did he score a brilliant goal? Yes, he did. Did he put Mbappe through with an unbelievable pass? Yes, he did. You assume that if you get Paul Pogba enough of the ball, then those things will follow. The problem with Paul Pogba is when those things aren't happening, what's he giving you? And sometimes the answer to that is not enough, and that wasn't the answer to that last night.
Do you blame him for the equaliser from Switzerland? Do you think that tints the entire conversation around Pogba last night?
Not really. It's when you lose a game from 3-1 up, to say, well, it was that one thing that was responsible for the defeat, is, I mean, you could finger people for particular errors, but ultimately there's 11 of them out there, and all they have to do is see it out from 3-1 with 10 minutes to go. And that's never going to be a failure of one individual. That's going to be a failure of everyone. And so, no, I wouldn't blame Pogba for them getting beaten last night.
Yeah, I think it was midfield player loses ball, but still there's 5 or 6 million different other little moments in the match that result in the 3-3. But equally, even for that goal, there are a load of other things that have to happen before the goal goes in.
Yeah, a lot had to happen to get the ball from where Pogba was to the back of the net. And so you can always take any goal back and say, well, he shouldn't have done that then, he shouldn't have done that better. Every goal comes from mistake. But you've got, there are 10 other people that are out there trying to stop a minor mistake like the one that Pogba made resulting in a goal. So you can always put things down, as I said, to individual errors, because you'll always find one. But to me, it's usually more about the flow of the game or the mentality of the team rather than it is about, well, don't do that.
Do you think Paul Pogba is a Manchester United player at the end of the transfer window, let's say, so that there's no wiggle room on this?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, probably. It seems unlikely that anyone is going to pay the money for him right now. If someone offered the money that United would take, then if I'm United, I am thinking quite seriously about taking it, because he's free agent next summer. And if he doesn't, and then you've got that situation where, on the one hand, do you want to commit to giving Paul Pogba whatever Paul Pogba's wages are for the next 3 or 4 years when he's never been entirely reliable? He was pretty good for the last 6 months of last season, but he wasn't best player in the world good.
Yeah.
He was good. And
you're going to pay him like the best player in the world.
Yeah, so if you're going to commit to paying Pogba that amount of money for 4 years at his age, I would be thinking if you could get value for him, then I'd be thinking about trying to find someone else. Not because Paul Pogba's replaceable, because there aren't really any players in the world like him, but when you have Paul Pogba, he can give you, or at least he can give United, a balance issue.
Yeah.
Because him and Bruno together means that if Pogba's prepared to put in the work of a box-to-box midfield player, then that is fine. If he isn't, then you need another player.
Yeah. Varane, is there anything on that?
I'm told that Varane wants to come to United. There's concern that from Varane's people, I think, that do United want a centre-back more than they want a midfield player? Also, once they've done the Jadon Sancho deal, what is their next priority? And I would say that they're concerned that United want the midfielder next, and then they'll see what happens with Varane. But I'm not sure that I would actually, if I hadn't heard that, and you said to me, does Solskjaer want a defender or a midfielder? I think he wants a defender more than he wants a midfield player. So I think there is a fairly decent chance Varane goes to United because he's available quite cheaply, relatively speaking. And he's someone that you could expect to just come in and be good. Whereas the other players that you hear people talking about, Pau Torres, Jules Koundé, you're not quite sure. You get them, who knows what's going to happen. You don't really know how good they are. Whereas Varane, you have a pretty good idea of what Varane is. And you could sign him and he'd just come in and be a certain bottom level that you know he'd be. So that is a deal that, I mean, I doubt Madrid want to lose him, but they can't afford to lose him for nothing. So that is a deal probably that suits everyone involved in terms of the player, the club and the price. So I wouldn't be surprised if I saw that happen. But I never say I expect that one to happen necessarily because there's so much that can go wrong and you just don't know.
The papers this morning are full of the belief, and they tend to be right about this. It seems like the team has been leaked to them that Southgate's going to go three at the back for the game against Germany tonight with wing-backs. And you know, I can understand why he's doing that, but yet we've just seen somebody go three at the back last night and it flopped horribly. So what's your instinct when you see that this morning?
I actually hadn't seen what the team is, but I think that I wouldn't go three at the back. I mean, partly like I don't really like three at the back as a formation because I don't think that why are you forgetting about the corners of the pitch? I think that you want to stretch the pitch and make it big. I mean, obviously you can still stretch the pitch and make it big playing 3-4-3, but when you play a team, either who are better than you or who are used to playing a formation, if you ape their formation, I would expect that you would lose because they know how to play that formation better than you. Now, England do know how to play 3-5-3, 3-5-2, 3-4-3, but the way I look at it, I look at that Germany team and they play that 3-4-3 with Gundogan, Kroos and usually Müller in midfield as a three. I think that that is a weakness. And what I'd be looking to do if I was England is outrun and out-physical Germany in midfield. So if you played, because the thing with Kroos and Gundogan is they're both beautiful footballers, but neither of them have any pace and Gundogan doesn't have a lot of physicality either. And if you put three in there, if you put Mason Mount, let's say, or Phil Foden, one of those two in there, along with Calvin Phillips and Declan Rice, then the running power that England would have relative to them and the physical power is you would expect to be able to dominate them because they've only got two men in there, really. And then the other thing is that Germany don't have good centre-backs. They play three of them, but then they play Gosens and Kimmich at wing-back, and they're trying to get forward. And then if you've got a winger and a fullback overlapping and attacking that space in those corners that are empty, then that is one of the best ways, I think, to get at Germany. And I think that if you match them up, you're removing an attacking player and you're also removing the advantages that I think that you should have. So I wouldn't play that formation. I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be that surprised if Southgate did because he's conservative and that is the conservative option. I think that, unlike France, England are more used to playing that way and they probably have better wing-backs that will enable them to play that way. But I don't think that is the best way of getting a result. But maybe I wouldn't say they definitely won't get a result if they play like that because they have players that can get a result against anyone playing in any formation. But the areas that I would be looking to exploit if I was any team playing Germany in any formation is I'd be looking to exploit the slowness in midfield, the weakness in midfield, and I'd be looking to exploit the spaces down the, like in between the wing backs and the centre backs down the sides of them. And the best way of doing that, I mean, the best way, the ways that you play, in, I think, 3-5-2, 3-5-3 are not aping that formation. They're either you play two strikers, because all of a sudden, if you've got one striker against three defenders, then if you put in two strikers against three, the balance totally changes. And then so you play like 4-4-2 is quite good against 3-5-2 because it gives you those overlaps and it gives you two strikers, but it doesn't give you the numerical advantage in midfield. But 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, it gives you that numerical advantage in midfield and it gives you a numerical advantage out wide as well. And I don't understand why you would turn that down.
And I think it also puts more of your better players in the team than adding or overloading with a defender. Well, we'll see what happens. Daniel, good stuff. Enjoy the game tonight if you can. Thanks a million.
You too, everyone. See you again.
Cheers, Daniel Harris, giving us some thoughts there. Jean-Philippe Leclerc of L'Equipe is standing by. We're going to talk to him next. We're also going to hear from Frankie Dolan. We're talking to Kilkenny star Katie Power before 9 o'clock and loads more to come. We'll get to your comments. They're rolling in on the YouTube channel and also by WhatsApp 0879 180 180. See you in a sec.
OTB AM on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.